You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere. This is your WLCX Daily News Roundup for the Eagle, 1490 AM in La Crosse.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Thursday's La Crosse Common Council meeting will have several agenda items, starting with action on multiple property developments that seek to add housing units and commercial space to the city. Other council agenda items include modifying the La Crosse Regional Airport's operating budget to handle a pair of capital projects, funding to repair the roof of the La Crosse Center, setting aside legal funds for the Town of Campbell's incorporation petition, and approving a plat for a subdivision south of the Highways 14, 35, 61 roundabout. People were pulled through a dam on the Mississippi River Monday after their boat failed. According to the Vernon County Sheriff's Office, six adults and one child went through the roller gates of the Genoa Lock and Dam around 1:30 p.m. Monday. All seven people reported only minor injuries afterwards. Vernon County Sheriff Roy Torgerson said it was one of the rare times that he could remember someone living after going through the dam. The Sheriff's Office reminded boaters to wear life jackets and have safety equipment in their boats. Democrat Jenna Jacobson announced she is running in the 17th Senate District in 2026, a seat currently held by Republican Howard Markline. Markline is the co-chair of the Joint Finance Committee, which is responsible for putting together the state budget bill. Jacobson said she's running because the budget passed earlier this month and signed by Governor Tony Evers did not do enough to help public education and rural communities.
Schools, not just around our district, but around our state, are struggling, and we had a real opportunity in this last state budget to make meaningful impact on the funding of our schools and try to stop the cycle of endless referendums, and unfortunately the budget fell short on that.
Jacobson, who currently serves in the state assembly, is the third announced candidate for the 17th state senate district that has been held by Markline since 2014. Democrats Lisa White and Todd Larson filed campaign paperwork earlier this year. Markline was drawn out of the 17th district ahead of the 2024 election and now resides in the 14th district. Before redistricting, he easily won his three previous elections in the state senate, including in 2022 by more than 20% points. Markline has not yet announced his future plans. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Federal courts will pursue charges against a Milwaukee County judge accused of helping a man avoid immigration officials. With more, here's Civic Media's Charlie Pittman.
A federal magistrate judge is recommending that criminal charges against Milwaukee County Judge Hannah Dugan move forward. Dugan's accused of helping an undocumented immigrant avoid ICE agents. She faces two federal charges, knowingly concealing a person wanted on a federal arrest and obstructing a Department of Homeland Security removal proceeding. Dugan says she's not guilty. She says she was acting in a role as a judge and has immunity for her actions as a judge, saying that the prosecution violates separation of powers. But in a recommendation yesterday, Magistrate Judge Nancy Joseph wrote that a judge's official duties don't shield them from criminal law and denied a motion to dismiss charges against Dugan. The case heads back to U.S. District Judge Lynn Adelman.
A scheduling hearing for Dugan, who has pleaded not guilty, is set for Wednesday. Gas prices continue to fall in Wisconsin. With more, here's Civic Media's Melissa Kay.
Average gas prices fell 4.5 cents over the last week for an average of $2.92 today. This is 3.5 cents lower than a month ago and 40 cents per gallon lower than this time last year. Officials at Gas Buddy say the downward momentum may continue. OPEC will boost production by a larger than expected amount per day in August, and that will add further pressure to oil prices as supply builds. If tensions in the Middle East remain contained and we don't see any major hurricanes in the Gulf, the national average could dip below $3 per gallon later this summer.
Here in La Crosse, prices currently sit at around $2.90 per gallon, just below the statewide average. Across the river in Houston County, prices are only slightly higher at around $2.93 per gallon. Governor Tony Evers has signed the biennial budget bill into law. The Wisconsin legislature passed the bill Wednesday in the Senate and early Thursday morning in the Assembly. With more, here's Civic Media's Lisa Hale.
After late-night discussions and a vote by the legislature, Wisconsin's biennial budget is now set. The budget bill passed with bipartisan support in both chambers. Assembly Representative and co-chair of the Budget Writing Joint Finance Committee, Mark Bourne, said that this year's budget came about the same way as other recent budget bills.
Every budget that has come through this committee since Governor Evers has been in office has been a bipartisan budget because Republicans have crafted most of it, which is still true with this document, and the governor has signed it.
Governor Evers did issue a few partial vetoes, including removing the proposed date of 2029 for the closure of Green Bay Correctional Institute.
There's several, but I'll just mention one. On the Green Bay Correction Institute, Eric, we just took the date out. We're going to close it, but we need more compromise on that. We need to get things going before we start taking people out of Green Bay Correctional.
In signing the bill, Evers noted that both parties of the legislature and the governor's office created a bipartisan budget.
Well, we have a story about compromise. We have what we call a budget that's been taken on by the legislature, and I'm going to sign it in a few minutes. You know, no budget is easy.
The governor touted the impact the budget will have on families. The final price tag on the budget is $111.1 billion. See the story on our website for the full budget bill.
The bill passed in the Senate 19-15 and in the Assembly 59-39. Wisconsin's fire departments are facing serious challenges. With more, here's Civic Media's Joanne Krulatz.
The reliability of Wisconsin's fire service report, based on contributions from 418 fire chiefs, representing 52% of departments statewide, highlights a growing crisis in staffing, funding, and training that could impact public safety if not addressed. Key findings show 85% of rural fire departments operate entirely with volunteers. Over 80% of firefighters receive little or no monetary compensation. 62% of departments are worried they will be unable to adequately staff their first due apparatuses in the next year. 49% reported responding to building alarm calls with fewer than the required 4 firefighters in the past year, and 34% lack sufficient funding to pay their projected expenses. Fire chiefs interviewed recommend regionalizing or consolidating fire departments to merge staff, budgets, and resources. Offer tax incentives to support firefighter recruitment and retention, expand access to training, especially in rural areas, and allow more flexible funding mechanisms for local governments. Wisconsin Office of Rural Health says correcting these deficiencies is going to require elected leaders to prioritize significant investment into community fire departments. It is also likely that many communities will need to regionalize services to share cost.
The 2023 state budget changed the formula for the way that municipalities receive state aid.
For Civic Media News, I'm Shally Pittman. Planned Parenthood says hundreds of its clinics nationwide could be at risk of closing under a newly signed law backed by President Trump. President Trump signed the sweeping domestic tax and spending bill on July 4th. The legislation is projected to add trillions to the national debt, but includes deep cuts to food assistance and Medicaid. And although the law doesn't name Planned Parenthood, reproductive rights advocates say it could still have a major impact by blocking Medicaid reimbursements to any nonprofit health provider that offers abortion services.
The congressional bill that would defund Planned Parenthood would make Planned Parenthood essentially a prohibited entity, meaning it could not seek reimbursement from Medicaid for services like contraception care, gender-affirming care, STI treatment, testing, cancer screening. And the list goes on and on.
Michelle Velasquez, Chief Strategy Officer at Planned Parenthood Wisconsin, speaking last week following a state Supreme Court ruling that found a 19th century abortion ban no longer applies in Wisconsin. Medicaid funding for abortion services has long been limited under the Hyde Amendment, but this new law, if interpreted as advocates fear, would go further, barring Medicaid payments to clinics that offer abortions, even if a patient is seeking unrelated care.
So the estimate nationally from the Planned Parenthood Federation is that about 200 Planned Parenthood health centers across the country would likely close.
Nationally, Planned Parenthood served 2 million patients last year. Just 4% of its services were abortion-related. Most were for STI testing and treatment, contraception, and other reproductive health care. In Wisconsin, 54% of its revenue came from Medicaid, according to its 2022-2023 annual report. Planned Parenthood operates 21 clinics across Wisconsin. Only three provide abortion services.
The bridge connecting Wisconsin to Iowa in southwestern Wisconsin will stay open through the summer. The Iowa Department of Transportation said that the existing bridge, which was built in 1931, will stay open for now, but future closures are planned once the summer ends. The Blackhawk Bridge, which spans the Mississippi River from Lansing, Iowa to near DeSoto, Wisconsin, was closed from May 17th until June 9th this year and for nearly 2 months last year for emergency repairs. A replacement bridge is being built and is set to open in 2027. Scattered showers and storms today could dump up to a half inch of rain in some spots with higher amounts than thunderstorms across the Coulee region. Otherwise, it'll be mostly cloudy with highs in the mid-80s. We'll see sunshine the next couple of days with highs staying in the mid-80s until the end of the week. That's when we'll see our next best chance of rain with showers and storms possible Friday into Saturday. Temperatures will stay in the low to mid-80s through the weekend. We'll have more details in our Civic Media forecast. Download the free Civic Media app now at civicmedia.us/app. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The Brewers clobber the Dodgers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports baseball. The Brewers got their bats going early, 5-0 at the end of the first. They went on to beat the Dodgers 9-1 last night. On the mound, All-Star Freddy Peralta pitched six scoreless innings to earn his fifth consecutive victory. Pat Murphy.
Yeah, Freddy was sensational. He attacked with all three pitches, and, you know, that's a great lineup, maybe the best lineup in baseball, and he attacked and proved, you know, to himself and to all of us, like, he can withstand it.
Peralta beat a Dodgers lineup that included Shohei Ohtani, Freddie Freeman, and Mookie Betts.
He's a really good pitcher, frontline starter in our league. And once you get somebody like Freddie pitching downhill, it's going to be pretty good for you.
Basketball, the Bucks confirming deals we told you about last week. Contract extensions for Kevin Porter Jr., Ryan Rollins, signing the Pacers' Miles Turner. They also bought out the contract of the Hornets' Mihailije Mitrović, who's now free to play elsewhere in the NBA or in Europe, with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Looking to make a playlist of patriotic songs for your weekend hangs? Look no further, as I did the research so you don't have to. Here are just a few classics from back in the day, as well as modern ditties. A consensus for the best or most searched modern-day patriotic songs seems to be Miley Cyrus's Party in the USA. How about adding another modern-day ear catcher to that list as well with Firework by Katy Perry? And of course, there is Tom Petty's American Girl. If you're like me, you love Ray Charles' version of America the Beautiful. And if people hear it on your list, they just might sing along. And don't forget Life is a Highway by Rascal Flatts to encourage a good old-fashioned summer road trip. Living in America by James Brown is a song that will make you tap your toes, patriotically speaking. And let's not forget one of my personal faves, Take Me Home, Country Roads by the late, great John Denver. Happy listening, party patriotically, and safely, folks. If you were looking for a break from relatives, friends, or people in the neighborhood who drop by unannounced this holiday weekend, why not escape with a film or two that have been considered July 4th classics? Let's start with Jaws, which has to be on the list given it is considered the first summer blockbuster ever and just recently had its 50th anniversary. Another fan favorite is Independence Day, where Will Smith and Jeff Goldblum take on aliens that seemed impossible to defeat, but of course they find a loophole. The film is a total guilty pleasure and great escapism. Back to the Future is another summer classic that came out in 1985. It's got the always likable Michael J. Fox, Leah Thompson, and of course Thomas F. Wilson, who never quite achieved biffdom again. And in my research, I was surprised at how much the original Top Gun appeared on the list for 4th of July movies. If you don't feel like going back to the 80s again, check out Top Gun Maverick. Take a break from the heat and fire up the small screen. If you're looking for a political flick that dates back to a time before we were so polarized, you're in luck. If you can be a little patient. Young Washington is a biopic about the father of our country that is currently in development, according to TheWrap.com. Filming supposedly starts this summer, although there is no cast yet attached. So maybe they're just casting the role of cherry trees? Young Washington is expected to hit theaters next July 4th. America is definitely the land of the beautiful and also the land of the trying to sell you stuff constantly. It's going to get worse thanks to megaplex chain AMC, which has announced it will be putting more commercials before movies. This is considered a risky move when it comes to losing patrons, according to Variety, as AMC tries to make up a $4 billion debt by making viewers sit through more pre-film commercials. It's like they're begging people to stay home. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A lingering storm this morning, otherwise clearing at a high in the mid-80s today. Mostly clear tonight, a low in the mid-60s, and once again a high in the mid-80s tomorrow, more sun than clouds. Showers and storms return to the area by Friday. Currently at 75 degrees.
That's your WLCX Daily News Roundup from Civic Media. Subscribe to this podcast on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you find your podcasts. Find more news at lacrosseeagle.com. The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.